Well, grace, mercy, and peace be yours this evening from God our Father, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in each believer. Amen. We're working through a series this Wednesday evenings entitled "The Gospel in Seven Words," where we have challenged one another along with our red letter challenge to sort of consolidate, if you will, those words of Jesus and the promises of God into seven or so words that we have sort of in our back pocket, so that when somebody asks us why we have the hope that we have, or why we respond the way that we respond, why we have the joy that we have, even in the midst of crisis, where does that come from? What would you say? How would you say it? Hopefully you've been putting some things together, and we want to make sure that the words include some things. And so last week, we talked about confession and forgiveness, right? We want that confession and forgiveness to be in there. That is truly the heart of the gospel. And throughout the week, I've heard some from you, some I remember, some we said in passing, some I saw in email or on social media, so I grabbed a few illustrations of some of these seven words. One of them is, in Christ, God's yes defeats our no. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. I think that was last week's seven words. Here's some that I caught from you guys. God loves unconditionally in spite of my shenanigans. I like that. See, we've got a big multisyllabic word in there. Or when Jesus arrives, guilt and shame depart. Or I shared this one last or 2 weeks ago. We have God's riches at Christ's expense. I got ridiculed for only being five words, so I added two more, right? We have, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the acronym for grace. So just some things to get the juices flowing, to get you thinking about what that could look like. There's no right answer, right? But your answer is sort of your testimony, if you will. It highlights the things that you find to be the most important or impactful, and that's what we're going for. The scripture says to give a reason for the hope that you have. That hope is in Christ. It's in the same person, the same being, the same action, but it's the hope that you have. So let's share that hope with one another. Tonight, we are highlighting the work of Jesus Christ of celebrating setting the captive free, highlighting captivity and freedom. As we look at captivity, I have a picture here of what is considered by Google to be the most impenetrable prison in all of the world. Right? This is does anybody know where the most impenetrable prison in all the world is? It's in Colorado, right? Colorado, ADX Florence, it's called AD letters, ADX in Florence, in Colorado. And these prisons, this is an aerial view, but the prison cells themselves are all poured concrete. And so the cell is concrete, the bed is concrete, the toilet, the sink, concrete, the desk, concrete, the chair to sit on at the desk, concrete poured into the floor so it can't be moved by any stretch of the imagination. The shelf that the TV sits on is concrete, and the window is a 4-inch poured concrete slit. I mean, this thing, there's nothing in there to pull down, to use as a weapon or any way, shape, or form. The shower in the cell is timed so that you can't somehow plug the drain and cause a flood, because I guess that's what prisoners do when they get bored, right? And try to get out. The cell isn't, like you see in the movies, you know, the bars move across and the people get out. Not here. It's a two-door system. So you go through the bars into a little holding place, then that closes, and then a solid steel door opens so that there is a barrier. You have to get through two doors to get out of your cell. This place is locked down. When we learn about Scripture, we learn about being set free from captivity. I don't know if any of you have ever been in this or anything like it, but I dare to say the vast majority of us haven't, unless maybe we were visiting somebody. So it might be a little difficult to relate to this kind of captivity. But if we're honest with ourselves, we find ourselves in captivity relatively frequently. It looks a little different for everybody, and it's more often psychosocial, spiritual than it is physical captivity. I kind of invite you to ask the question, what holds you captive? What prison are you in today? Or what prison are you not in, but you are frequently susceptible to going back to? Maybe it's social media. Right? Maybe you go to social media and you see what other people are doing and you get jealous. Or maybe you just waste away your time for no good reason. Or maybe you put something on social media and you hope people like it. And if they don't, you get disappointed. Maybe your prison is fear. Well, there's a lot of that going around our world right now. I went to Sam's yesterday because we actually needed toilet paper. That's bad timing right there. Maybe the prison you're in is the acquiring of stuff or experiences, the sort of keeping up with the Joneses that we say, but this comes in a variety of forms and formats. If you really need something, or you just got to have it, or you just got to do it, and you got to tell other people about it, if that's the stuff that gives you safety or security or value. General insecurities or addictions. An addiction isn't just drugs or alcohol, it's all sorts of things. You can be addicted to all sorts of different habits. You can be addicted to pornography. You can be addicted to money. You can be addicted to just about anything if it's the thing that you worship. All of this is simple idolatry, and at the same time, it holds us captive. It becomes our God, and we are enslaved to those desires, those feelings, those emotions, and we want and need them, or we feel we do. Or maybe you look at this list and you say, no, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. I've been a Christian a long time, and I'm doing pretty well. You know, maybe you don't relate to being in prison or captivity. Maybe you sort of cling to the motto of our country, right? The land of the free and the home of the brave, right? We are free in this country. We've never been captive to anybody. Those who have fought the last world war, some of the most aged in our society, most of us have no idea what it means to be under threat of foreign rule. If we are living in this freedoms, either in our country or in our spiritual journey, what we're really doing is we're doing exactly what the Jews did at Jesus' day. He came and said to them that the Son will set you free, and they said, we're the children of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. They lacked the self-awareness that they needed to know that they needed a Savior to free them. And that's what we're in danger of. God sent His Son Jesus to free us from captivity. But if we say, well, I'm not really enslaved to anything, then we invalidate Jesus. And worse, when we find people who are, and we want to share with them the Savior we have, if we can't realize the slavery, the captivity that we were freed from and that we need to continually be freed from, lest it cave us in again, we can't relate to those people. And they can't relate to us. If someone tells you they're dealing with addiction or fear or they're overwhelmed by something and you say, well, I just hold on to Jesus, that doesn't make sense. We have to be able to say, you know, maybe I don't struggle with that, but I have struggled with this. Or I've struggled with that too. And here's how God helped me through it. We have to realize and remember that we were slaves and that we have been held captive so that we can receive the gift of Jesus who comes to free us from that slavery. Jesus talks about this all the time. God talks about it throughout Scripture. Jesus, the good shepherd, came to what? Seek and save the lost sheep, right? The lost sheep were held captive to being lost. Or Jesus came as the suffering servant to do what? To suffer on the behalf of sinners. Or in the Old Testament, we see that God is the God who brings life to dry bones. We see the Lamb of God sacrificed and sitting on the throne for the sins of the world. Jesus himself in his first sermon, which we read today. It's kind of interesting. I never really thought of it that way, to be honest, until I was prepping for this message. But this is Jesus' really first sermon. I usually think of the Sermon on the Mount as his most prolific sermon, and it is. But this is the one he did when he was younger, right? And he went in and he read the scroll from Isaiah. And sometimes kind of the first sermon you speak says a lot about, you know, who you are and where you've come from and where you think you're going to go. And this is what he says. He said, God sent me, reading the prophet of Isaiah, God has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Proclaim freedom for the prisoner. If we don't believe that we're a prisoner, then we don't need freeing. And if we don't remember that we were held captive, then we're able to be held captive again. Maybe not even know it. Each and every one of us in our flesh struggles with captivity. We struggle with sin, we struggle with our habits, our addictions, we struggle with the things that we find value in, the idols that give us hope, the things that give us peace and comfort that are something other than God, and we have to be aware of that so that we can confess it and be forgiven, and so that can be freed from it in our times of need. One of the greatest leaders of the Christian church after Jesus' resurrection was a man named Paul. Now, Paul knows that he was a slave. He was enslaved to his own thoughts and his own ideology. And we know he got set free as Paul. But listen to his own confession. He said, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? But thanks be to God who delivers me through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul proclaims that captivity and freedom that he has. The work of Jesus Christ himself. We've been set free. If you're here this weekend, you maybe heard another sermon about that. These things kind of tie together. Nice, don't they? But tonight we want to step into that freedom and be ready to proclaim it to others. Because our world is filled with people held captive to their idols, to their thoughts, held captive to their feelings and the perceptions of others. And God needs us, wants us, has equipped and sends us to be his voice, to be his presence, to set those captives free. And the best way to do that is to be able to share how we've been set free as well. So tonight I want to share with you another 7 words. Jesus frees us from all our prisons. I don't know that that's perfect or not, but it'll get the juices flowing, I hope. How might you proclaim the good news of Jesus, that he has come to set the captive free? How can you proclaim your thankfulness for Jesus, that he has set you free? And how can you keep your trust in him, that he will free you over and over and over, that you'll never be a slave again? The Son has come, and the Son has set us free from all our prisons. In Jesus' name, amen. Our worship continues with the gathering. We invite you to please stand as we proclaim our faith and trust in our God and who he is and what he's done. Tonight we're going to use the